Turn into your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3, please. We'll begin in verse 20. It's been the theme of this series. If you don't have a Bible this morning, I hope that there's a Bible near you and maybe one of the seat pockets, and you're welcome to take one of those and use that if you'd like. The scriptures will be on the screen, and so that's one more way that we'd like you to interact with the message and your phones, your devices, whatever you may have this morning. We invite you to open up that Bible app and follow along with us as we preach through the message today. So I'm going to try something new today. I'm going to preach from my iPad, and so I don't know what's going to come about from that. I'll just be perfectly honest, and I don't have a paper backup. So this could go anywhere. Anything could happen. And today we're going to talk about limitless and limitless power as it relates to the power of the Holy Spirit. And so that will be the context of the message. And so I told my dad when I was talking to him yesterday, just kind of going over the plan with him and the format of what I was going to talk about. And I said, so Dad, I kind of feel like an idiot because I've chosen three of the biggest main topics in the entire Bible. So limitless, right? That's by nature really big and really big. And there's really no other word to describe it. It's really open. It's really big. It's, in fact, limitless, right? And so in that context, we talked about prayer, which is huge. We talked about God's presence, which is equally huge. And now today, we're going to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit or the power of the Holy Ghost, which is also equally huge. It's like talking about our galaxy within the context of the universe and saying, you know what? It's big. And there's a lot of other big things out there. And in the context of everything, we're really, really small. And so that's kind of, I feel like I bit off a little bit more than I can chew. But we're going to tackle it today as we talk about the power of the Holy Spirit, the limitless power of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. I hope that you're there. I'm going to invite you to stand with me as we read from the Bible today. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says this: "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Will you please pray with me? Jesus, we love you, and we are very thankful that we can have this place to come to church on Sunday morning. God, there's many aspects of the service today that we are grateful for. And this is one of them, the Word of God, the preaching, the time that we set aside to learn about what the Word of God has to say to us. And so, God, I pray you would give us an ear to hear what you are speaking, a brain that can decipher what you're speaking, and a heart to receive what you're speaking to us today. We thank you for that. God, I ask that you would give me the ability to communicate in a way that people would understand this concept of the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, can somebody agree and say amen? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. That'll be the last time you stand until we're dismissed. Somebody say praise Jesus. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21 talks about this immeasurable God that has this wonderful power that lives inside of us. That's where we're going to dial in today, this power of the Holy Spirit. And I was talking to my friend Jim Golzo before the service, and I said, Jim, I'm excited to teach about the Holy Spirit today. And so The format in which you receive things today might be a little different than maybe what you expect from me, and that's okay. But I'm very, very excited to teach today about what the Holy Spirit is, how it works in our life, and what we can expect from him moving from day to day in this thing we call our world and in this thing we call life. Just to recap very quick, week one was limitless prayer, and we talked about how prayer is this forward movement into genuine conversation with God. And genuine conversation can only be a byproduct of genuine relationship, and the importance that God puts on being with his people in relationship. Week two, we talked about God's presence. And God's presence was basically God's initiative to be present, which we know is different than being here. We talked about the difference between here and being present. Being present is active and involved. And God's presence is God's initiative to be present or to be active and involved with his kids, with his people. And what a wonderful thing that is. And so today we're talking about limitless power. And where does that kind of fall in? Well, it's God's means of empowering his people to be witnesses. The Bible says that the Holy Ghost will come upon you, or the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will receive power. It goes on to say that you will receive power to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. That's the first concept I want you to kind of embrace this morning, that the power of the Holy Spirit empowers you to be a witness of the good, great things that God has done, not just here in Battleground, but all across the globe. And so I want to illustrate it kind of this way this morning. And many of you might have seen something similar to this before, but for the sake of our message today, the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Spirit, we'll get into it a little bit more in just a second, but basically it's part of the triune nature of God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Equally God, equally the Spirit, and he carries out his function in ways that are a little bit different than the other members of the Godhead. And so this is how I want to illustrate this. It's been said that God, or that the Holy Spirit is a conduit running from God the Father to God, or through the Holy Spirit to empower God's people. Well, what does that mean? What might that look like? Well, at the very front side of the series, I took out my cell phone, and I seem to have lost it. So I'm going to, excuse me real quick, my cell phone. Where we talked about unlimited data and how it really wasn't unlimited, all that kind of jazz, right? So we've got the cell phone. And we're going to hang on to that a little bit. And how many of you, again, have one of these? Just raise your hand real quick. How many have one of these? All right. If I open mine right now, my mom is praying for me and she loves me very much. That was the text message I just got. So you are in good hands because my mom is praying for you this morning. I look on my phone and I see my battery power at 95%. Anybody else want to share what your battery power is? Jason, what's the battery on your phone? 92. Somebody else, what's the power on your phone? Anybody? 95. Anybody else? Anybody at like 15? My daughter would be at like 15% because she would have been, you're at 15? Oh, it's because you've been on social media all morning, right? No, anyway. This is, I know her, so I will kind of jab at her a little bit. But we got this battery thing. And so at the end of the day, for me, I take my phone and I plug it in. All right, so we're just going to go over this real quick. This is an outlet. I stole this from our electrical room back there. This is an outlet. And this represents God. The outlet is wired in a house or a building or a business. It's wired to a very, very strong power source that will provide power to the entire building. And there's a lot of other things we're not going to go into. But basically, this is how we get our power from that very, very strong power source. Now, in order to charge my phone, I have to do a couple things because I have an iPhone. I have a USB adapter right here. This represents Jesus. So with Jesus is the USB adapter that is going to connect my phone to power. So we've got the power source, and then we've got Jesus. Can you all see that? Just pretend if you can't and just play along with me. So, and then we have Jesus. So we have God the Father, the outlet, God the Son, Jesus, which is the USB adapter, and then we've got the power cord that plugs right in to the USB adapter. Now, the only thing missing on this is to take the phone and to plug the phone in to the power cord, which plugs into the power adapter, which plugs into the outlet. And now when my phone is dead, when the battery is getting dead, that phone will be recharged by the power source. Now, can I just tell you this? The phone cannot be recharged just by the power cord alone. Anybody ever tried to? No, you don't, because you're smart individuals. You haven't tried to power your phone this way, okay? And we know that this doesn't work either, that we can't just take the power cord and the USB adapter and expect the phone to be charged. Everything has got to be connected or the continuity will be interrupted and the phone will not receive the power that it needs to be recharged. And so this is the basic illustration that we have this morning about the power of the Holy Spirit. The cord is the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit is what engages with you. The power of the Holy Spirit is what charges you. The power of the Holy Spirit is what literally connects you to the person of Jesus and the person of God to complete the triune divine nature of the Godhead. Do you get that a little bit? Does somebody understand what I'm talking about right here? Okay, very good. So we're just going to set this aside real quick. And come back to our teaching about the Holy Ghost. So, if the Holy Spirit is that important, we cannot expect our phone to be charged up without that cable being attached to the power source. If the Holy Spirit is that important, then we had better learn about it. We had better know about the power of the Holy Spirit, because the practical application to this is that we are the phone. God is the outlet. Jesus is the USB adapter. The Holy Spirit connects us to that whole Godhead thing. And if we unplug any piece to that puzzle, we will not charge. We will not be recharged. We will not have any power to function the way God has designed us to function. That cord in our life is the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Spirit. So what is the Holy Spirit? Well, really the question ought to be this: who is the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit is a who, not a what. Okay, the Holy Spirit is a who and not a what. The Holy Spirit has attributes. The Holy Spirit is a person. It is the third person of the Godhead. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can break the Holy Spirit's heart. He is a person. The Holy Spirit, so answering the question, who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God, the third person of the Trinity. He is co-equal, co-eternal Spirit of the Father and the Son, who inspired Scripture and brings new life to the people of God. The Holy Spirit's nature is seen from Genesis all the way to Revelation. There are hundreds and hundreds of references to the Holy Spirit through the entirety of Scripture. We're not going to go through all of them today. You're welcome. But suffice it to say, who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God. He is co-equal and co-eternal Spirit of the Father and Son, who inspired the Scripture. We've established that. He is divine. The Holy Spirit is divine. He is holy. As part of the Godhead, listen to this, the Holy Spirit's attributes and activities are always those of God. The Holy Spirit's actions, the Holy Spirit's attributes are always those of God. He will never, ever contradict the Father. He will never, ever contradict the Son. He will never contradict the Father or Son. He will always stand in agreement with God and with the Holy Scriptures. We know this as the Bible. The Holy Spirit speaks to His people. The Bible says the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us. And so if we are praying about a situation or in the presence of God about a situation, and we feel that the Holy Spirit is speaking something to us contrary than the Word of God, it's not the voice of the Holy Ghost. It's not the voice of the Holy Spirit. The voice of the Holy Spirit will never contradict the voice of the Father nor the voice of the Son. It always, always reflects the heart and the voice of God the Father and God the Son. It is not separate from the Godhead. It is equal to, but does work in a little bit different manner. You can see now how I feel like an idiot biting off something so large in 20 minutes that I have to preach at this first service. But we're going to forge ahead anyway. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit was sent by God to empower His kids. The Holy Spirit was sent by God to comfort and to be present with believers. God poured out this Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2 at the day of Pentecost. You can flip there if you'd like to, but I'm just going to reference it. This was the day of Pentecost, was after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, after Jesus appeared in his glorified body with the nail scars in his hands and his feet and the scar in his side. It was after he revealed himself to his disciples, and countless others, individuals, have eyewitness response to, I can't even think of the right word. They saw Jesus. We'll say it that way. Countless people saw Jesus in a glorified body. Jesus is taken up into heaven, and now the Holy Ghost is poured out at the day of Pentecost. And in Acts chapter 2, this Pentecost would become the inauguration of the New Testament church. Pentecost, like I said in my little illustration right here, would be the very literal connection between the power of God and the people of God. It was the Holy Spirit who would empower Peter to walk to that crippled beggar and say, I have no money, but what I do have, I'm going to give to you. And that's the power of the Holy Ghost. So get off of your mat and walk. And the lame man got up and walked again. It was the same. It's the same power that allowed Peter to walk by people and just his shadow healed individuals. It was the power that empowered the disciples to stand before the government and the governing body of that day and say, it is not up to us to determine how you believe, but we know that we have been filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. We know that we must testify that Jesus Christ is the Messiah and the Savior of the world. This is the person and the individual of the Holy Ghost. We can accurately say that the Holy Spirit is the divine power of God living inside of people. We can make that assertion this morning, that the Holy Spirit is the divine power of God in people. Even in ancient times, divine power was always linked to the Holy Spirit. And the same applies to us today. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 states that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Which means the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We must believe in the divine power of the Holy Spirit and how He works in the life of the believer. And the Holy Spirit has power and authority. And because the Holy Spirit has power and authority, believers have that same power and that same authority. Now that's getting crazy, right? That's getting a little bit crazy to think that us as believers today have the same power that allowed Peter to raise that lame man, or to heal that lame man and cause him to walk again. It's crazy to think that as believers, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is alive inside of us. But it's not just crazy, it's real, it's true. Because that is the person of the Holy Spirit. What else do we know about the Holy Spirit? He was promised by God. The prophets speak about this promise of God. Joel spoke about him when he said, "And it shall come to pass that I will pour my Spirit out on all flesh." We saw that happen in Acts chapter 2. We know that throughout John chapter 14 and John chapter 15, that Jesus spoke to the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit. What else do we know about the person of the Holy Spirit? We know that the Holy Spirit indeed was sent by God. He wasn't just talked about. He wasn't just referred to. The Holy Spirit was sent from the Father to humanity. We know that because it says it in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 and verse 11. We know that not only the Jewish people, not only the Israelites received the Holy Spirit, but Gentiles received the Holy Spirit. Why is that important? Well, because you're a Gentile. That's why that's important. I'm a Gentile. That's why that's important. The promise was not just for the Israelites to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. The promise was that the Holy Spirit would be poured out on all flesh. And so it fell on Israelites. It fell on the Jews. It fell on the Gentiles. And the next thing about the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit is given without limit. The limitless power of the Holy Spirit. It says in John chapter 3, verse 34, that God gives the Spirit without measure. God gives the Spirit without limit. God gives the Spirit simply because He can give the Spirit. And there is no limit to what the Spirit can do. There is no limit to what the Spirit can accomplish. There is no limit to what we can do and what we can accomplish when we are empowered or filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Does somebody want to acknowledge today that we're pushing in a right direction by saying amen or giving me a nod or blinking twice? Blinking twice is kind of the comatose state of saying, you know, if you're incoherent and you blink twice, you understand what I'm saying, right, Adam? I'm at least kind of close. So some of you are feeling kind of comatose to my teaching this morning. Just blink twice at me if we're on the same page, okay? The power of the Holy Ghost. It's important to know who He is. Because we have relationship with Him, we interact with Him. So the next question is, I might understand a little bit, okay, I understand who the Holy Ghost is, who the Holy Spirit is, but how does the Holy Spirit work today? How does that work out in my life today? What does that look like? Well, the Holy Spirit works today the same way He did when the disciples, with the disciples in the early church. The Holy Spirit is the same yesterday, today, and forever because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the Holy Spirit works today in the exact same way that He worked way back then. Well, what does that look like? Well, there's many things that the Holy Spirit does in the life of a believer. And one of those things that we're going to talk about right now, this is kind of part of our landing zone this morning, is this thing called spiritual gifts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and in Romans chapter 12, you can turn there if you'd like to. We're not going to read all of it. We're going to reference some of it. The Holy Spirit works in a way that we have identified as this phrase called spiritual gifts. And there are many different spiritual gifts, but the Bible will tell us that the same Spirit gives every single one of those gifts. So what are the spiritual gifts? How does the Holy Spirit operate today? He works this way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Now about spiritual gift, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant," the NIV says. I want you to understand, the ESV says, I do not want you to be uninformed. Paul says in 1 Corinthians regarding spiritual gifts, I want you to know what these things are all about because it's on these things that the church will operate and be successful. And so further down the road, in verse 4, it says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. And so now we begin to answer the question, what does this look like? What do spiritual gifts look like in our world? Well, verse 7 says this, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." And the version I'm reading out of is going to be a little bit different than the one you see on the screen. My apologies for that, but I really messed with the sound people this morning. This is all my bad. So read or listen or do both, but this is what the Bible says about spiritual gifts. To one, verse 8, "There is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits," or we call that discernment. "To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues," we call that speaking in tongues or having a prayer language. And still to another, the interpretation of those tongues. Listen now in verse 11. "All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines." The Holy Spirit is the author of all of these gifts. And when you start looking at these gifts, you begin to realize how productive they are in the lives of people, in the life of the church. And time doesn't permit us to talk about all of those things this morning, but to answer the question, how does the Holy Spirit work today? The Holy Spirit works in people just like you and just like me when we need to have faith about a really, really tough situation. When we need to have discernment about a decision, God will give the gift of discernment. When we need to have wisdom about a decision, God will give the gift of wisdom. There are times when the Holy Spirit prays and we pray in the Spirit and we don't have the words to speak and we speak in tongues in our prayer time. That is a gift of the Spirit. And God says, or Paul says, that God gives all of these to all people just as He determines. Pastor has always said that in a service at Landmark, you will see practically all of the gifts of the Spirit working in and throughout our service, because that's the way the church ebbs and flows. That's the way the church functions. And so when somebody's praying for you, I was talking to Adam this morning. I told him, Adam, I'm sorry about it, but I'm sorry. I was in the shower and I was thinking about you this morning, getting ready. And I feel like God wants me to just give you a word of encouragement. And I gave him that. That is the Holy Spirit working in our world. When you get this really abstract, odd thought, man, I really need to text Mike. Or I need to text Ryan or Jason or anybody else. I need to text him. Just let him know I'm praying for him. Let him know that that maybe there's a specific verse that God is speaking to you that you want to share. That's exhortation. That is encouragement. That is the gifts of the Spirit working in our world. That is the power of the Holy Ghost using you to impact the life of another person so that they are encouraged, so that they are empowered, and in turn, they can, to borrow the phrase, pay it forward to someone else. That was the beauty of the first century church, is that everybody embraced all this stuff so readily, and they gave it away so readily, and people were constantly being prayed for, constantly being encouraged, constantly being lifted up by the power of the Holy Ghost, and consequentially, they were constantly growing because people were being converted. That is how the Holy Spirit longs to work in the day in which we live, and that is the limitless power of the Holy Ghost. The limitless power of the Holy Ghost works its way out in you and I, but it is really connected, not to us, it's connected to the limitless power of God. Come on. Because when we do things in our own strength and in our own understanding, we fall flat on our face in failure. But when we rely, the Bible will say to Zerubbabel, it is not by might, it is not by power, but it is by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And sometimes we need to realize in this situation of life that it is not by might, it is not by power, but it is by the power of the Holy Ghost that things on an amazing scale begin to happen on even a regular basis, because we are connected to the source of the power. We're connected to the lifeline. We're connected to the conduit. We've chosen not to disconnect from the very power and presence of God through prayer. How's that for tying in the whole Limitless series? You're welcome. So, What do I want to leave you with today? Well, I want to leave you with a lot, because there's just a lot to know about the Holy Spirit, but I pared that down for you, okay? And so understanding all of this, who is the Holy Spirit? How does the Holy Spirit work in our world? You know, the additional thing that 1 Corinthians and Romans 12 says is that we're all in this thing together. We are all one body. We're all connected. And even in our physical body, the finger plays a different role than the ear. And the eye plays a different role than the knee. And the internal organs play a different role than the external things that we see. The same is true with the power of the Holy Ghost and spiritual gifts. The same is true for the church. I have a different function than Vicky and Dan. Vicky and Dan have a different function than Jane and Bob. And Jane and Bob have a different function than Jay and Tab. And all the way across the board, we can say that everybody has a different function, but we're all in this together because God has called us to be one body. That's an amazing picture that I'm not going to take the time to dissect anymore, but it's an amazing picture of how unity looks in the church and in the body of Christ as a whole. So, what do I want to leave you with today? I want to leave you with these things. The Holy Spirit is real. The Holy Spirit is real, and we can't see Him, and we can't touch Him. Just like we can't see the wind, and we can't grab the wind in our hands, but we can see the effect of the wind as evidenced by all the three tab that flies off of my roof when strong wind shows up like we've had over the past winter. The same is true with the Holy Spirit. We can't see Him. We can't grasp Him. But we can sure as day see the effect of Him as He ministers to our heart and the hearts of those who are hurting and broken and prospering and doing well. The Holy Spirit is real. I want to leave you with this. The limitless power of the Holy Spirit is directly connected to the limitless power of God. They are one and the same. And Ephesians 3 says that God is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. That limitless nature of God is equally the limitless nature of the power of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, lives inside of you. And so to say that the possibilities for you in Christ are limitless is absolutely true. I want to leave you with this. We are all part of the body of Christ, bound together by the power of the Holy Ghost. Everyone who is a believer has a role to fill and a job to accomplish. We should never ever think of ourselves highly, more highly than another, because we are all equal, as Pastor says, when it comes to the foot of the cross. And honestly, to use the imagery that I talk about when I talk about Nate and some of my guys that I pray with on a kind of consistent basis, when you all lock arms with one another, nobody cares what gift you have, just that you're using the gift together for the common good of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. The last thing I want to leave you with is this. There is power in the Holy Spirit of God. Limitless power in the Holy Spirit of God. When we are powerless, He comes in power. When we don't know how to pray, He comes and prays with us and for us. When we don't understand, He brings understanding. When we are timid, He brings courage. When we don't know what to say, He gives us the wisdom to speak the words that need to be spoken. When the truth is hard to find, He reveals it to us. He is our comforter. He is our companion. He is our friend. And He will never, ever, ever leave us as orphans. He will never leave us or forsake us. There is power in the Holy Spirit of God. And that same power lives and works inside of each and every one of us. Stand with me this morning as we conclude our service today. Message one with the iPad, success. Beautiful. Thanks for coming to church today. Thanks for worshiping with us. Thanks for praying with us. Thanks for diving into the Word with us. And I pray in all sincerity that God has spoken something powerful to you throughout this series. That it's changed you. That it's impacted you. And that further it would change someone else. And impact someone else because you will share with them what you have learned. And to play on the words, the Limitless series is concluded. I think that's funny. You obviously did not. So, let's pray. Jesus, I'm thankful for today. I'm thankful for what you've spoken and what you've done. Thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you that when we choose to be connected to you, the possibilities really are are limitless because we are connected to a limitless God. As we leave today, I pray that that will be something we desire to carry out. Holy Spirit, how will you speak to me today? Holy Spirit, how will you guide me today? Holy Spirit, how will you direct me and lead me today? Holy Spirit, how will you make a difference in my world and use me today? May we all be open to the power of the Holy Ghost and His leading. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, it's good to see you. I'm glad you came. Love on somebody on the way out. Give them a handshake, a high five, elbow in the side maybe, or a hug if it's appropriate. Love on somebody as you leave. You are dismissed. Thanks for being with us in church today.